Hello and welcome to episode 86 of the Big Picture Podcast. I'm your host, Bidemi Olugunde. On this episode, I'll be discussing how the Chinese government is trying to achieve its semiconductor chip manufacturing goals as contained in their latest five-year plan by co-opting Chinese tech companies using a carrot and sticks approach in terms of regulatory oversight. Thank you for your time. Let's get to it. Since 1949, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, has shaped the Chinese economy through plenary sessions of its Central Committee and National Congresses. So based on this, since 1953, the CCP has issued a series of social and economic development initiatives known as the five-year plans. The CCP plays a leading role in establishing the foundations and principles of Chinese communism, mapping strategies for economic development, setting growth targets, and launching reforms. So planning is a crucial characteristic of the nominally socialist economies, and one plan established for the entire country typically contains detailed economic development guidelines for all its regions. The plan, since the 11th five-year plan for 2006 to 2010, have been referred to in Chinese as guidelines instead of as plans. And this is done to reflect China's transition more accurately from a Soviet-style command economy to a socialist market economy. So basically socialism with Chinese characteristics. So back on March 13, 2021, China's National People's Congress, the NPC, approved the outline of the country's 14th five-year plan, which is supposed to cover the period from 2021 to 2025. The plan was drafted during the fifth plenary session of the 19th Central Committee, which was held from October 26 to 29, 2020. So Han Wengzhu, the deputy director of the Office of the Central Finance and Economic Commission, said Chinese leader Xi Jinping had personally led the drafting process through multiple meetings of the Politburo, which is its standing committee, and the drafting panel that he headed. The plan was drafted against the backdrop of the worsening U.S.-China relations and the COVID-19 pandemic, which caused China's economy to shrink in the first quarter of 2020, and that's the first time that has happened in 44 years. The plan's economic and social development targets provide critical signposts that foreign and domestic companies would be wise to heed when determining their goals for the coming months and years in the Chinese market. So we now know that semiconductor chip production is a priority in China's 14th five-year plan, which, like I mentioned, covered the year 2021 to 2025. As tensions between the US and China continue to heat up the US-China tech rivalry, China's semiconductor chip efforts are also expected to help counter a global semiconductor shortage. China has vowed to produce 75% of all the chips it uses by the year 2025, which is just 4 years away. And it is putting a lot of money behind this goal. Total venture capital investment into China's semiconductor industry quadrupled in 2020 to about 140 billion yuan from the previous year. China has also set up a series of government-backed funds to support semiconductor startups, including a $29 billion big fund. So Chinese tech giants typically focus on the consumer market, but their appetite for semiconductors is growing. In 2020, Xiaomi, the country's second largest smartphone maker, made 30 venture capital investments in semiconductor firms. Also in 2020, Chinese telecommunications equipment giant Huawei invested in about 20 semiconductor firms through its venture capital unit, Hubble Technology Investment. And earlier in January 2021, Tencent participated in artificial intelligence chipmaker Enflame Technologies' 1.8 billion yuan, which is about $278.3 million Series C financing. So this year, Chinese internet companies have faced tighter control from the government in several areas, including data, competition, education, and online content. Tencent's major rival, Alibaba, was fined a record $2.8 billion in April for abusing its dominant position over competitors and merchants on e-commerce platforms, while ride-hailing giant Didi Global Incorporated has been undergoing a month-long cybersecurity review. The more challenging regulatory environment that Tencent and other tech companies face in China is the new normal, and it appears to be here to stay, as various stricter rules have weighed on the firm's growth and profitability. For Tencent, which is the world's largest video game publisher, the new game regulations that severely limit youth time online have been particularly painful. So back in August, China restricted younger gamers' playtime to just 3 hours per week and later put new game approvals on hold. Since then, Tencent has repeatedly pledged to self-regulate and combat user addiction. Between July and September of this year, Tencent's net profit rose 2.5% from the same period last year to about 39.5 billion yuan, which is approximately $6.1 billion. And that was a significant slowdown from earlier this year. Likewise, its 13% growth in revenue to about 142 billion yuan marked the slowest pace since the tech giant went public back in 2014. So video games revenues rose by 8.4% in the third quarter year over year compared to a 45% jump during the same period last year. The company said domestic game revenues increased by 5%, while international games revenue grew by 20%. Tencent has also said it would now report revenue growth for domestic and international games separately from now on. So since the new rules came into place, young gamers accounted for a smaller portion of Tencent's games revenue in China. This September, gamers under 18 years old accounted for 1.1% of the company's domestic games revenue, and that was down from about 4.8% just last year. Tencent recently said that it would shut down the Chinese version of Fortnite on Monday, November 15. Future players will no longer be able to register or download the game, and the game servers will be shut down that day. So Fortnite is a video game developed by Epic Games, and the game had been running under a test mode for more than 2 years in China, so it never officially launched in China. The Chinese government did not grant Tencent a license to sell in-app items and make money from the game, and no reason was provided for the planned shutdown. Meanwhile, after multiple delays, Tencent started to test the smartphone version of League of Legends last month, and that game is similar to Fortnite, but it's way more popular in China. Global tech giants, including Meta Platforms Incorporated, which is the parent company of Facebook, have expressed interest in exploring the metaverse, which is an extensive online world where people interact via digital avatars. Tencent said its experience in games and social media would allow the company to approach metaverse opportunities through multiple pathways. Tencent President Martin Lau said the Chinese government would support developing such technologies as long as they follow the rules that the Chinese government lays down. Tencent also operates the social media app WeChat. So Tencent's advertising business rose by a slower than expected rate of 5% from the same period a year ago in the midst of weakness in the education and insurance sectors. In addition, the company said it expects the business to remain weak for several quarters to come, citing macroeconomic challenges and regulations affecting specific key advertising sectors. Over the past year, the Chinese government has also raised enforcement of antitrust rules. In November 2020, Tencent, Alibaba, and Didi drafted rules on anti-monopoly compliance for internet platform companies. Tencent also vowed to gradually remove competitive barriers from WeChat, the social media app, by making it easier to share e-commerce listings from major rivals on their messaging app. In July of this year, the Wall Street Journal reported that Tencent and Alibaba were considering opening their services to one another amid mounting regulatory pressure. Meanwhile, More Chinese internet companies are seeking new growth drivers as their core businesses mature and come under closer regulatory scrutiny. So on Wednesday, November 3, Tencent introduced three self-designed semiconductor chips. The first is the artificial intelligence chip named Zijiao, which can process video images and natural language. The second is a video transcoding chip called Kanghai. And the third is a network interface controller called Xuanling. The move comes after Tencent's main rival, Alibaba, showcased its proprietary server chip in late October, the Yitian 710, which will go into the company's new Panju servers in Alibaba Cloud's data centers. Alibaba says these new assets will boost its cloud computing and data storage capacity. So more broadly, the development of new semiconductors by Tencent, Alibaba, and other tech companies is in line with China's national plan to elevate domestic chip-making expertise, as the country's manufacturing sector has been hampered by a shortage of processors that are crucial components in mobile phones, home appliances, and automobiles. The value of China's domestic semiconductor market exceeded $140 billion in 2020, but the chips made by domestic companies only met 5.8% of the demand, according to investment research firm Equal Ocean. There is a very long way to go before domestic suppliers meet 75% of the country's semiconductor needs by 2025, which is the key goal set by the government, as I mentioned earlier. Regulators said they would roll out favorable policies to reach that milestone, including subsidies and tax cuts for chip developers. Tech firms are joining the race to make viable chips, with the likes of Tencent and Alibaba competing to realize China's chip self-sufficiency. Other companies are in various stages of developing semiconductors for a variety of uses. Baidu is one of the most promising developers, as its Kunlun AI chip was put into mass production back in August this year. Meanwhile, smartphone maker and the Internet of Things powerhouse Xiaomi has invested heavily in chip-related companies, including chip developers and chip equipment makers. ByteDance, Huawei, Oppo, and others each have business divisions devoted to designing new processors. However, the main challenge in this roadmap is chip production rather than chip design. China's largest chipmaker, the Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corporation, SMIC, is still years behind its global rival, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC. Chip production is only possible with an integrated industrial supply chain. At the moment, Chinese tech companies are still in the design phase, and their manufacturing capabilities, from hardware to software, still largely depend on foreign suppliers. So that's all I have for this strategic intelligence episode. Thanks for listening. The Big Picture Podcast is produced by Sunshine Media in association with Alowunle Productions. Fact-checking by Zara Kuznetsova. Audio engineer, Sergey Gorsky. Graphic design, Stacey Graham. Senior producer, Abidemi Ologunde. Executive producers, Olufolani Ologunde and Toby Loba Ologunde. Please join me again on the next episode as I continue with a deep dive on cybersecurity's news, events, and incidents, and the lessons we can learn from them for robust cyber threat intelligence and awareness in our daily lives. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Big Picture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, please share the show with anyone that you think might benefit from it. For questions, comments, or any suggestions, please send an email to bdme@thebigpicture.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @BigPicture, on the Clubhouse app @Big, as well as on the Wisdom app @BDME. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast if your platform allows you to do so. Thank you for your time. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.